Hallelujah. God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. Thank you, Lord. I'm just going to make sure this is getting recorded. Thank you, Lord. Well, this morning's message, is about God has got a plan. And it's very similar, because the Lord's probably putting it on both our hearts, to what you were talking about this morning. It's funny that you said about the Christmas cantata. I went to my son's winter concert, and that's what they call it, the winter concert. And we're listening, me and my wife are going, are they going to sing one Christmas song? One? I mean, sleigh bells? Jingle bells? I mean, something. It was all these weird songs no one's ever heard of. But then my son started singing, and I almost started crying because he had no idea what he was singing. And the whole choir is singing, what was it? Prepare your lamps. Prepare your lamps. Make sure your lamps are trimmed and burning bright, for the time is drawing nigh. They had no clue what they were singing. They're singing it in chorus style. Prepare the lamps, prepare the lamps. I'm like, they have no clue. I said, they're singing right out of Matthew 25. I said to my son, you know what you were singing about? I have no idea. I said, you were singing about where you said to the virgins, make sure your lamps are trimmed and bright and burning brightly, because five of them were left behind, because the time draweth nigh that the Son is coming, that the King is coming. So it was like covert. And then they ended it with the classic song. We talked about this one. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And they're singing it because they don't know. And then they're singing, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. I'm like, oh. I said, I wanted to raise my hand and start worshiping. So even though the enemy, humanity, is doing everything they can to try to mess up God's plan, it's not going to happen. Even though Halloween is becoming more popular than Christmas, it's not going to thwart God's plan. The enemy has been trying to thwart God's plan forever. Let's look at this. What is God's eternal plan? You can see this. It's sharing. The end is the same as the beginning. Revelation 21, verse 5, really getting to the last chapter, 21, 22, the last verses, it's summed all up. If you haven't read Revelation, the end of it, just read from Revelation 19 and just continue reading. It's such an amazing, and you know I preach on this, I can't stop talking about it. So, but what is God's eternal plan? And the one sitting on the throne said, look, I am making everything new. And then he said to me, write this down, for what I tell you is trustworthy and true. And he also said, it is finished. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To all who are thirsty, I will give freely from the springs of the water of life. And all who are victorious will inherit all these blessings. And this is God's plan. And I will be their God. And they will be my children. This has been God's plan since the beginning. That he will be their God and they will be his children. And they will be a family. God has been setting it up since Genesis to have his family. But he knew the plan from the beginning. And it can't be thwarted. Look at this, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5. It said, God decided in advance. Say advance. Not by the seat of his pants, not wondering, oh, what happened over here? Oh, what happened over here? Let me change the plan. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family. by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do. Adopt some more children. And it gave him great pleasure. This isn't going to be a long message today, but it's going to be a poignant one. We got to be reminded that God has a plan. Say that. Thank God. In the beginning, we all know that's how it starts in Genesis. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. How many days did it take for God to create the earth? Here's a quiz, Bible quiz. Okay, I was wondering if anybody was going to say seven. Right? He created the heavens and the earth, and the second day, and then the third day, he continued to create. He created, his plan, though, was already in motion. It wasn't like, let's create something. Oh, look at this round globe. Let's put some water on it. Oh, that's nice. Let's put some things in the heavens. Oh, that was nice. He had a plan from the beginning, and he created man. And he had a plan from the beginning that we would be his children, and he would be our God. But he knew it wasn't going to come and unfold right then. He knew that all of that wasn't the end. He knew exactly what was going to happen, because in advance, he had decided how people will truly be adopted into his family. And Satan tried to stop God's plan. See, here's a lie that's being told, that Satan and God are like, it's God versus Satan. That's a big lie. Satan is a created being who gets used by God for his eternal plan. People say, well, it's Satan versus Jesus. That's not true either. Satan is under the feet of Jesus. He's already been defeated. Satan was an archangel. Archangel. He was very angular too. He was an archangel, equal with Michael and Gabriel. He is being used. So every time he thinks he's thwarting God's plan, God says, I already knew in advance what you were going to do. Satan continually tries to thwart God's plan, but he can't. And sometimes we think we thwart God's plan because we messed up. And there was an opportunity and we blew it. And instead of being sensitive to the Holy Spirit, we got in our flesh. And we got angry. We sinned. Well, Adam and Eve didn't thwart God's plan either. Amen? He knew it in advance. When he said, oh, Adam, where are you? He knew where Adam was, just to let you know. That was a rhetorical question. Adam couldn't hide from God. God knows the beginning to the end. That is literally what Alpha and Omega means. He knows it all. He knows how things are going to unfold. But I like to see God like playing this. See, we can't thwart God off his plan because he's in heaven rearranging. He's in heaven reordering. He goes, oh, I knew they were going to do that, but what they didn't know is that I'm going to turn that around. What the enemy was going to use for failure, for darkness and evil, I'm going to actually turn it around and use it for my good and my glory. Amen? He's not seeing everything that God sees. The enemy isn't the Alpha and the Omega. The enemy can't see the future. He tries to tell people what the future is going to look like, and they listen. But that doesn't thwart God's plan either. We know this one, right? He's got the whole world in his hands. Man, we need to sing that more often. I'm sure they sing it in the school, right? He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. God literally holds time in his hands. He created the movie, wrote the movie, produced the movie, has watched the beginning, has watched the end. He knows exactly what's going to happen. His plans will not be thwarted. Amen. He holds the whole world. And I'm telling you this message this morning to remind somebody. You're in the timeline with a perspective of what you see right now, with memories of a past that you remember not even clearly, and a future that you really can't see at all, but you know maybe some things are going to happen like this or what, but we don't really know, but we know God's eternal plan. And I want to remind you that he holds it all in his hand. He created it all. He's got a plan. He's got a plan for you and me. He's got a plan for us. You can't thwart it. Even if you mess up. Satan is a pawn in God's big scheme of things. Now, he's evil and he does try to destroy people. And some people choose ways of darkness and they choose ways of evil and they rebel against God. But God's eternal plan is bigger than us. He's giving us the opportunity to come into his family. He's given, hey, I'm even telling you what the end is going to be. There's going to be a new heaven and there's going to be a new earth and there's going to be a Jerusalem, a new Jerusalem. And I am going to come back and I will rule and reign. I mean, that's the best future we could ever imagine. His plan is going to end with him saying, these are my children and I am their God. He decided in advance that it pleased him how this was going to happen. Psalm 31:15 says, my times are in your hand. This is David saying, deliver me from the hand of my enemies and from those who persecute me. But here God has it. No surprise. No, God, what are you going to do? We had a pandemic. He knew this pandemic. He knew the pandemic in 1918. He knew the Black Plague. He knew everything that was going to happen. It still doesn't thwart his plan. Amen. You with me? Because I want you to see the big picture. We have two eyeballs, a nose, ears. And our only reality is what we can see and sense with our senses. We've got to look beyond that. And some of you are going through trials, and some of you are going through tribulation. Some of you are experiencing loss. Some of you are getting frustrated with the world. Maybe you got to go back and sing that little children's song. He's got the whole world in his hands. It's not a shock to him. You see, God is omnipresent. God is omniscient. I don't think I had coffee this morning. When you forget joy to the world, something. God is omnipotent. Omni means all. He's all powerful. He's all knowing. He's all present. God is eternal. We are not. But we have the opportunity to become eternal and have eternal life. We weren't there in the beginning, and we're not the Alpha nor the Omega. God is immutable. Let me give you some scriptures here. God says this to Job. Can anyone... I like how God asks questions. Like, this is a dumb question, but he had to ask it to Job. Can anyone hide from me in a secret place? Am I not everywhere in all the heavens and earth, says the Lord? You see, even when the demons and the the principalities and the powers, even when they're having their board meeting and they're coming up with plans to set snares and traps and potholes and obstacles, and they're planning, don't you think God knows what their plans are? Or do you think he's forbidden from seeing what the enemy does? He knows, and wouldn't it be awesome to submit and surrender to the creator of the universe, who is everywhere, all-powerful, all-knowing, and say, Lord, protect me. And you feel like you're going to go down, and the Lord says, no, don't go down that street. Well, I'm going to go. No, don't go there. I need you to go here. And you don't see what's happening in the spiritual realm, but God does, because he has an God is the author of it all. And I just want to remind somebody of that. Because you're caught up in this, what you see. You're caught up in what you can sense. You're caught up in what you're dealing with. And sometimes we got to take that perspective of saying, Lord, I need to look at it from your point of view. If I possibly could. He's omniscient. How great is our Lord? His power is absolute. His understanding is beyond comprehension. And we have the opportunity to call him Dad. Abba. My dad, let me tell you about my dad. You know how kids do that? Well, my dad could beat up your dad. Well, I'm going to tell my dad. And as kids, we have this image that our dad's invincible. Well, we have a father who's invincible. Let me tell you about my father. I might not know it all, but you know what? He's adopted me, and I have the right to come to him and say, Father, give me wisdom. Give me understanding. Give me knowledge. Give me discernment. Fill me with your spirit. Fill me with your power. Let me be a reflection of your love. Let me tell you about my daddy. And some of you got to remind yourself of that. That's why studying the names of God are so important. He's our victory. He's our peace. He's our love. He's our nourishment. He's our satisfaction. He's our provider. He's our righteousness. He is the God of all heaven's armies. And he literally said, I'm going to make a way in advance so you can be part of my family. I've got an adoption plan that I've put in place. The enemy can't thwart it. You messing up can't thwart it. Politics and politicians can't thwart it. I already know from the beginning to the end. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. He's omnipotent. Oh, sovereign Lord, just reminding yourself that he made it. He created it. He spoke it into being. You made the heavens and earth by your strong hand and powerful arm. Nothing is too hard for you. I was thinking about singing that other one too. Our Lord God, thou hast made the heavens and the earth by thy great power. Remember that? Man, I'm stuck in all the oldies, so you got to get with me here. You got to go backwards to learn the songs I'm singing. Nothing is too difficult for thee. Nothing is too difficult for thee. Great and mighty God, great in my power, mighty in strength. There you go. Good thing I didn't sing it. And he's an eternal God. The eternal God is your refuge. And his everlasting arms are under you. He drives out the enemy before you. He cries out, destroy them. He is eternal. And omnipotent. And omniscient. And all-knowing. All-powerful. Omnipresent. He's got the whole world in his hands, and his plans cannot be thwarted. Malachi chapter 3, verse 6 says, I am the Lord. And he's got to say this with some fierceness here. And I do not change. That is why you descendants of Jacob are not already destroyed. Because he made a promise and he made a covenant. I do not change. The world thinks God changes. The world wants to say God, oh, well, we evolved from thinking that way to this way. These precepts and concepts and commands, this is old-fashioned stuff. This doesn't matter anymore. We have new enlightenment and new conscious levels that we can obtain. We don't need this old stuff. God says, I do not change. I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. So I want to read this morning something that's very important, because I feel the Lord always brings me back to this. And I'm going to read a little bit of it. I won't read the most of it, because even Job, when he was going through his trials, and Job was going through some trials, believe me, Job started to question God. Job started to question God. Man, I'm getting old now. Now I got to wear my other glasses so I could see. I'm going to read this one to you. Job says, I know that you can do anything and no one can stop you. He's talking to God. Because God asked him, who is this that questions my wisdom with such ignorance? It's I. And I was talking about things, Job saying, that was me. And I was talking about things I knew nothing about, things far too wonderful for me. You said, he's saying to God, God says this to Job, listen, now I will speak now that you started to question me and you forget who I am. Now I'm going to ask you some questions, Job. I have some questions for you and you must answer them. Now Job says, I had only heard about you before, but now I have seen you with my own eyes. I take back everything I said. And I sit in dust and ashes to show my repentance. Job chapter 38. Because Job was counseling. I'm going to just read a little bit of it. Because if you ever want to know a chapter where God goes on a rant, whew, Job chapter 38, 39. I mean, he just keeps going. Look at this. I mean, it's powerful. If you have questions about who God is, and you have questions about his omnipotence and his power, just read this, because God's really showing this to all of us. It says, chapter verse 1, God says, we kind of read this here, but I want to continue just for a few sentences, just so you understand, God doesn't take this lightly. Then the Lord answered Job out of the storm, and he said, who is this that darkens my counsel with words without knowledge? Brace yourself like a man. This is what God says. Brace yourself. Brace yourself, because I'm going to question you, and you shall answer me. This is what Job's talking about here, what we just read. Tell me, Job, where were you when I laid the earth's foundation? Tell me if you understand. Now, who marked off its dimensions? Surely you know. Who stretched the measuring line across it? On what were its footings set?
Or who laid its cornerstone while the morning stars sang together and all the angels shouted for joy? Now tell me, Job, who shut up the sea behind the doors when it burst forth from the womb? When I made the clouds its garment and wrapped it in its thick darkness, when I fixed limits for it and set its doors and bars in place, when I said, this is how far you may come and no farther, here is where your proud waves stop. Have you ever given orders to the morning, Job, or shown the dawn its place that it might take the earth by the edges and shake the wicked out of it? Job, the earth takes shape like clay under a seal. Its features stand out like those of a garment. The wicked are denied their light and their unpraised arm is broken. Have you, Job, ever journeyed to the springs of the sea or walked in the recesses of the deep? Have the gates of death been shown to you? Have you comprehended the vast expanses of the earth? Tell me if you know all this.
I mean, God's saying, okay, brace yourself because I got to put you in your place for a second. You're questioning me and I love you. You don't realize what I'm doing for you. So you're questioning me.
What is the way to the abode of light and where does darkness reside? Can you take them to their places? Do you know the paths to their dwellings? Surely you know, for you are already born and you lived so many years.
I can hear God saying it kind of like this. I'm going to stop this nonsense about questioning me, God says.
Have you entered the storehouses of the snow or seen the storehouses of the hail, for which I reserve for times of trouble, for the days of war and battle? What is the way to the place where the lightning is dispersed or the place where the east winds are scattered over the earth? Who cuts a channel for the torrents of rain and a path for the thunderstorm? To water a land where no man lives, a desert with no man. And he keeps going. He's talking about the clouds, the beautiful places, the constellations, the heavens. Where do you, who was it you? Tell me, do you know the answers to this? And sometimes we hear in our little perspective of what we see, and we forget who God is. And we forget that he is the center of it all, and not we. Sometimes we think we are the center of it all. Sometimes we think this whole earth is revolving around us. And God's saying, no, that's not it. It's constantly who and do you know, and do you have the answer to this question? And then Job stops for a moment and goes, okay, I get it. I shouldn't have asked you. And God says, wait, I'm just beginning. I'm not even done yet. Let me keep going and talk about every single animal I created. And Job's like, that's when he comes and says, I take back everything I said. I am repenting. I will never question you again, God. It's God's eternal plan. It's a great chapter because it really does put us in our place of how great God is. You know, we hear the word magnify the Lord. Anybody hear that? Magnify the Lord? Well, think about it. We normally magnify us and we magnify our problems and we magnify our situations and we magnify our feelings. But really, we need to be magnifying the Lord. I love that saying. Stop telling God how big your storm is. And start telling your storm how big your God is. We need the reminder that he's got it all under his. He's got it. He's everywhere. Now, the greatest gift that he gave is why we celebrate Christmas. And it was part of his plan since the beginning. He knew man was good. Look, man messed up right after God presented the perfect plan. Man messed up and Satan came and tried to make man fall, right? He did. But it didn't thwart God's plan one bit. You understand this? I want to talk about the greatness of God and the prophecies of Jesus real quick. Because we get caught up in the Christmassy stuff. And it's there everywhere. And the busyness. And the cooking. And the cookies. And this Christmas party and that Christmas party. And spending a whole day wrapping presents. Which is all cool. But sometimes we just need to go back and remember how big of a miracle, how big of a gift, how important this is, the event of Jesus Christ coming and coming back. This is the central part of God's eternal plan. It's not over. It's just getting good. The good stuff is about to start to unfold. Because we're going to see his eternal plan. It says in Matthew 24 that as persecution increases and people are going to be jailed, potentially even killed for spreading the gospel, persecution is going to be like lawlessness will multiply and grow cold, people's hearts will grow cold. It says, and then, there's an end word there. And then the gospel of the kingdom will be preached throughout all the earth. And then the end will come. It's when people start grasping God's eternal plan. When people start grasping what the kingdom really is. When they start grasping that he's going to rule and reign when he comes back. When they start grasping that it's just not die, go to heaven, that's the end of the story. Even though that's the story that gets told at every funeral, that's not the story. That's a fake story. It's much greater than that. So the prophecies of Jesus, I'm just going to read a few of them. And I'm going to give you some statistics. His genealogy. If you begin reading in Matthew, where a lot of people say, I'm going to read the New Testament, I'll begin in Matthew. It begins with a full genealogy of Jesus. I'll read it for you. A record of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac. Isaac, the father of Jacob. Jacob, the father of Judah and his brothers. Judah, the father of Perez and Zerah, whose mother was Tamar. Perez, the father of Hezron. Well, it continues. And you might say, what? What am I reading here? This is part of the fulfillment of the prophecy that was given that Jesus' genealogy of who he would be, a son of David, of the bloodline of David, of Jacob. And this wasn't like, see, this is the funny stuff that the world says. Well, man just created this. Man just wrote this Bible. No clue about what they're saying. They think somebody just sat down and wrote this whole story and tried to connect everything. Because these prophecies were 500, 600, 700, thousands of years before Jesus even came. These documents were existed before they canonized the New Testament. And every single prophecy about Jesus happens in the Old Testament. Oh, there's a Rome. Rome messed it up and the Catholic Church made their own thing. It's all man-made. That's ignorant. I kind of want to get like how God got. Hold on a second. You don't know what you're saying. Genesis chapter 28, 14, it's prophesied. Genesis! It's prophesied that the Messiah would be a descendant of Jacob. In Luke's gospel, he provides a genealogy of Jesus. And in Luke 3, 34, he notes that Jesus was a descendant of Jacob. The virgin birth. We sing about it, but we gotta slow down a second. The prophet Isaiah writes, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin will be with child and bear a son, and she will call his name Emmanuel. Emmanuel means God is with us. This prophecy is fulfilled in the Christmas child, as we see in Luke 1:35. The angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, and for that reason, the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God." We got genealogy. We got the virgin birth. Even this little song we sing. Oh, little town of Bethlehem. Right? We sing it. We don't know why we're singing it. It's like my son singing a song about lamps being trimmed because the time is drawing nigh. What time? What lamps are they talking about? Micah prophesied. Micah, hundreds and hundreds of years before Jesus was born, God gives Micah a prophecy and he says it and it gets written down. Micah prophesied that the Messiah would be born in the little town of Bethlehem. Micah 5:2 says, "But as for you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you one, capital O, will go forth for me to be the ruler in Israel. His goings forth are from long ago, from the days of eternity." This prophecy was fulfilled in Jesus, as we read in Matthew 2, verse 1 through 6. It was prophesied that there would be a forerunner, John the Baptist, in Isaiah. He would be preceded by a forerunner. Scripture makes it clear that it was John the Baptist in the wilderness. He will be betrayed. I'm just giving you a couple of them. In Zechariah 11, 12, 13, it says, we read that it was prophesied that Jesus would be betrayed with 30 pieces of silver, and that the silver would be given to a potter. Amazingly, in Matthew 26, 15, and Matthew 27, 6 through 8, this prophecy was fulfilled to the letter. Somebody take a guess, if you may know this. How many prophecies did Jesus fulfill? His death, his life, his birth, his life, and his death. How many, you think? 12? 25? There is. 75? 100? 300 specific prophecies were fulfilled by Jesus. Here's a little bit more, that Jesus would end up in Egypt, prophesied. About the star in the east, prophesied. His ministry would begin in Galilee. Jerusalem would rejoice as the Messiah comes on a colt, a non-broken colt of a foal, very specific type. Jesus would have a miraculous ministry. Jesus would be despised and rejected, that none of his bones would be broken, that the Messiah would bring an end to sin. 300. Look at the statistics of this. You want your mind blown? Lee Strobel, because he was an atheist who went and tried to prove, because his wife was getting into Christianity, and he was a journalist, and he said, "I'm going to prove that Jesus doesn't exist." If you know the story, it's called The Case for Christ. He ended up saying, "There's irrefutable evidence. How can I not believe in Jesus?" Look at this. If Jesus, I said how many prophecies were fulfilled? Over 300, excuse me. If Jesus had fulfilled 48 of these 300, 48, the mathematical probability of that happening by random chance would be 1 in a trillion. If you don't like counting, that is 12 trillion. 1 in 12 trillion. God had a plan. Nobody could thwart it. He's speaking to prophets hundreds of years before then, giving them words, and they're saying it. They don't even know what they're saying. Gets written down, and it gets confirmed. Checked off. Checked off. Checked off. That's why the Jews really have been blinded, because it's really in their Torah, and it's really in their, the Old Testament, it's there. But they were blinded. I heard the statistics that someone gave you a silver dollar, and they took the whole earth, the whole surface of the earth, and they covered the whole surface of the earth 2 feet high in silver dollars. And they told you, go anywhere you want, go anytime you want, go randomly, fly in a plane, take a boat, whatever. Imagine 2 feet of silver dollars lining the whole surface of the earth. And go when you decide, you can only pick once, you go and pick up one coin, and it's the same coin that you have, the same matching coin. You getting this statistic? It's impossible. Because God had a plan that's not dependent on us. Thank God. It's not dependent on us. He knew we were going to fail. He knew we were going to let him down. He knew we were going to make silly choices. Go back to Job. If you're questioning, how could this all be? How? Have you ever heard people say this? How could you let this happen, God? Go read Job starting in chapter 38 and realize God's talking to you. Sometimes we get caught up in the how. God gives you a vision. God gives you a dream. God puts something on your spirit. And then we start questioning. Well, I don't understand how this is going to happen. I don't understand how this is a good idea. I don't understand why this makes sense. And God says, stop asking me how. Your brain can't even fathom how. What I do in the heavenlies, what I arranged hundreds of years ago for it to be right here at this moment. It's so funny that you just happen to be right here speaking about, you ever say that? Like you get this, it's so funny that you say that. And now I catch myself, nope, God's speaking, God's winking. You ever hear those God winks? That's what they call them, God winks. He goes, that was me. That was me. I just came from a business seminar, and I was doing some training there. It was not Christian, it was worldly. And as everybody we meet is Christians. We were sitting at a table, me, my friend, and another guy were sitting at a table, and we're talking about God just at this hotel in the breakfast area. We're talking about God, sharing about the Lord, and some lady walks up to us, and she goes, you know, we've been having our breakfast here the whole time, just trying to enjoy our breakfast, just being to ourselves, and I'm going, that's it, I'm in trouble. And she goes, but I want to tell you how encouraged we are. We realize you are three men talking about God for the last hour, and we are so encouraged. I said, oh, this is going to be a God weekend. And God started arranging things. So you know what? I told my friends, I said, I'm going to go to this seminar tomorrow, and I'm going to wear my bold shirt that says, heal the sick, cast out demons, raise the dead, and speak in tongues. I'm going to wear this to that. They're like, do it. I'm like, I'm doing it. Well, isn't it funny that here I am in the back of this whole seminar. I'm in the back row. And they're starting to play the music, getting everybody ready. And here I am. I'm getting myself moving. I'm clapping. And the MC from stage says, you guys got to be like that guy in the back. By the way, what's your name?
Ron.
Tom? Ron. Ron, come up here on stage and lead everybody with me in the music. Cast out devils, raise the dead, heal the sick. I'm like, I knew it. Isn't it funny that I happen to wear? No, it's not funny. God's got a plan. If we listen to him, we can be directed by the God of the universe. Amen? And it was just thing after thing after thing. We forget about this stuff like prophecies. The world wants to put Jesus as a little figurine. Oh, there with the camels and the manger. Well, what's the purpose of the manger scene? Why are you even got a manger in your house? To remember the miracle. To remember the prophecies that were fulfilled. To remember our redemption. And we got a lot of prophecies that talk about Jesus' return. I was studying a couple of weeks ago, and I said, it must have said in the Bible, like, there's going to be a star at this time, in this location. It's going to be over here. I mean, it's got to have coordinates or something. How do these wise men come and say, hey, we see a star and we know that the Messiah's... I mean, it was like, it's literally like, and there was a star in the east. But they were searching. They were listening. They were paying attention to the signs that all the Pharisees and all the scribes, all those people weren't even paying attention to. They knew there was going to be a bright star. They saw it in the east. That's got to be the star of the Messiah. And they went there. And then they tell Herod, and then Herod says, you know what? Whoever this king is, I got to kill all the babies under two. And then Jesus fulfills a prophecy by going to Egypt and hiding out while that happened. With Mary and Joseph, not little baby Jesus took off, right? Prophecy after prophecy after prophecy. Because God's got a plan. And I get to be part of it. I don't get to tell him how the plan should go. That's kind of dumb of me. You know how quickly we would mess it up? What's that movie, Evan Almighty? Bruce Almighty? Okay, Bruce, you think you're so smart. Let me have one day of what I deal with. But see, we're not omnipotent. We're not omniscient. We're not all-knowing. God is. He's got a plan from the beginning. What did he say? I want to have children, and they're going to call me God, and I'll be their God. I want to dwell with them and them with me. In Revelation, he says the same thing. I planned this in advance. It pleases me. I want to have people who call me their God. I will be their father. They will be my children. And you get to choose whether you're going to be part of God's plan or not. Well, I'm not going to go through Jesus. I believe I could do it just through spiritual awareness. Ain't going to work for you. Well, I'm going to do it just through being kind and nice. Ain't going to work. I'm going to try to go, nope, not going to happen. There's one way, and he's the way, the truth, and the life. It's Jesus. Mike, if you could play something. Listen, if you're saved already, and you've already made this decision, this is a reminder for you. Don't get caught up. Don't get caught up in the world's things. Don't look at such a small perspective that you lose sight that God's got a bigger plan. Your short life on earth is a vapor. God says it's like grass blowing in a wind to me. You're here and gone. But you have an invitation. You have an invitation to say, God, I want to be part of that plan. I remember my son when we were talking about the Lord. I was just always talking about the Lord and always talking about the return of Jesus. And my son Matthew was much, much, much little. I don't know, 4 or 5 years old, maybe 6 years old. And I'm talking about God's plan. And I'm talking about the fact that we're going to have eternal life. And I'm talking about coming back on the white horses with Jesus. And my son says, Dad, how do I do that? How do I get to be part of that plan? I want to ride on a white horse. And I say, you just got to make the decision to follow Jesus. You got to just make him your Lord and Savior. You got to confess with your mouth. He said, okay, I want to be part of it. And then we're sitting around a dinner table. I said, Matthew, why don't you pray? And this comes out of a six-year-old's mouth. God, thank you. I'm a really lucky guy that I get to be part of your plan, that I could come back with you, and that I could have eternal life. Man, God, I'm such a lucky guy. And that invitation to be part of God's adoption process, to be there when we can say, you are my God. God looks down and says, and you are my child. There's no other way to get there but through Jesus. This whole Christmas season is about Jesus. It's the greatest gift. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish. See, that's our destiny. Right now, our destiny is automatically to perish. Because we're sinful. We have sinned. We've all messed up and we've sinned. But God says, I got a plan though. I've been working this plan since I created everything. I put it in place even when I had the Garden of Eden. I already know what the outcome was. It's an eternal plan. Nobody can thwart it. The enemy doesn't even know what he's doing. But I'm using him for my plan to come forth. I'll kill that Messiah. Through Herod, kill all the children. And it makes a prophecy get fulfilled. The soldiers sticking a spear in his side. Not one bone broken on Jesus when he was hanging on that cross. Prophecy. That soldier didn't even know what he was doing. Prophecy fulfilled. God's got a plan, and we just got to say, Lord, I just want to be part of it. I don't know it. Lord, I repent. I'm going to go roll around in the ashes and dust forever questioning you. Yes, this requires you to submit. It requires you to submit that IQ that you think you have, that's so smart, that's figured it all out. You haven't. None of us have. But we can be part of this plan. Let's all stand right now. If you've never made this decision, today's the day. Today is the day. One in 12 trillion chance. Isn't it funny that you just decided to listen today? Isn't it funny that you decided, well, let me come today? It's not funny. There was a reason. Some of you need to be reminded of how great is our God. You need to be reminded, Lord, I'm not going to minimize you, but I'm going to magnify you. I'm going to lift you up and exalt you. Who am I that you are mindful of me? Who am I? We are getting close to the return of Jesus. Prophecies are being fulfilled. God's eternal plan. And guess what? God's eternal plan. The enemy's going to think he won again. He's going to actually set it up to make it look like he wins. Just like he did with Jesus. We got him. We got him. But little do you know, it was a setup for a comeback. And he is coming back. And today, if you want to make that decision with all eyes closed, if you want to make that decision, if you're listening online, today, God, it's not just coincidence that you're listening to this. And if you want to make that decision, it's just a commitment.
It's not going to be easy. It's not meaning everything in your life is going to work out perfect. But you're going to be part of God's eternal plan that He has set forth since the beginning of time. He won't leave you. He won't forsake you. There's nothing that you can do that God says, oh, I'm not taking that person in. If you call on the name of the Lord, if you believe in Jesus, that little Jesus that came as a baby, but coming back as a king, He's not just a little figurine, but He's God's central part of His plan. In advance, He has decided, this is how I'm going to do it. And it pleased Him. If you want to make that decision, just raise your hand. And we're going to pray right now. I can't not preach and give an opportunity for salvation. Some of you have been walking away from God for so long, you think, I can't come back. Well, if you keep hardening your heart and you keep allowing it to become callous and you keep allowing it to become a stone-filled heart, there might be a point that you're never going to make that decision to come back. So today, it's not funny that this opportunity is being given to you. If you want to make that decision, just say, I make that decision. I'm confessing Jesus as Lord. God, how can I ignore your plan? You can. But how could you? You can turn your back on what you're hearing today, but why would you? His eternal plan is kind of close to the final chapters. You're not promised tomorrow. You're not promised another day. You're not promised another opportunity. Let's all just say it. Lord, if you feel in your heart, we're going to all say, Lord, thank you that I could be part of your plan. I believe in you, Jesus. I believe Jesus was raised from the dead. And I confess Jesus as Lord. Lord, no longer am I going to do it my way. But I'm going to do it your way. It's not a magical prayer. It's just you coming to that decision or not. At the end of your life, if you haven't made that decision, you're not getting into God's eternal plan. You're not going to have an automatic adoption. Your paperwork won't say child of the king. You'll stand before God and He'll open up books and say, well, there's two books. One is all your works. And He's going to go through everything you did and He's going to say, no, I'm sorry, but you've been disqualified. You can't do it through your... You're not perfect. So you can't come into my plan because of that. Let me check my other book. And it's the Lamb's Book of Life. And if your name's in that book, you're good. You're part of His plan. If your name's not in that Lamb's Book of Life, you're not. Take this invitation this Christmas season. When you're with your family this Christmas season, remind them of how big and great and awesome and mighty. Remind them that there are over 300 prophecies fulfilled by Jesus. And if only 48 of them were fulfilled, all 300 plus were. It would be mathematically and statistically impossible for one man to do that. Does anybody want to be part of the plan? Just offer it to them. I want to be with my family. I want to be with my loved ones who died. I want to be with my friends. And it's the opportunity right now to make that decision. Oh, come, let us adore Him.
Oh, come, let us adore Him. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Oh, come, let us adore Him, Christ the Lord. Father, we just come before You. We thank You, Lord God. We thank You that we can be reminded that You've got the whole world in Your hands. We could be reminded, just like You told Job, of how great You are. And that we could be reminded that we could be part of Your plan, that there's an adoption process. And it's signed in blood. The blood of Jesus. Lord, we thank You. Touch our hearts. For the one who's feeling that piercing in their heart, Lord God, let them just make that decision. And realize by not making a decision, it's a decision as well. Cry unto the Lord, and You shall be saved. We thank You, Lord, that we can't get in and be part of it because of our works, our goodness, our religion, our niceness, or our kindness. Because we're going to drop the ball on all of those. But it's only by Your grace and in Your mercy. We thank You, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I'm redeemed, I'm redeemed. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Ron. Thank you. Praise God. I don't think it could have been put more simply and more clearly. Amen? Amen. The rest is up to you. Hallelujah. And all those that you love and you come in contact with, that you can continue to share this message. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Once again, I invite you, if you can be here next week, Prophet Phil Cappuccio will be with us. I know it's going to be a blessing, a special service. Yes. Oh, yes. Brother Nick Savoca was supposed to be with us last week, but because of all the illness and the flu and everything, I gave him the option. You know, maybe it wouldn't be the wisest thing, and he chose not to. But he did leave us with some books. There's some books in the back if you're interested. There's a free will offering to give for them. That's up to you, but just take a look at them. I think Annette handling that? Annette? Yes, Annette Brown in the back there by the sound room. If you're interested, take a look at that. Otherwise, join us in the cafe. We'd love to just share a little while with you over some refreshments and coffee. God bless you.